Okay, now we're going on to the picture, which is titled "Fagex versus Gold Year to Date." That's the picture of the capital and income fund, which we discussed before, and a GLD, which is the contract, which is the New York traded piece of paper, which represents 1/10 of an ounce of gold. Presumably, the people that buy GLD are getting an ownership of 1/10 of an ounce of gold, which is held in a vault. It's a physical entity. GLD can be tra there are margin rules for the New York Stock Exchange, which allows it to be margined, but it's not a futures contract. When you look at the two charts, the top one shows the capital and income's total return to date is 64%, and if you look at the GLD year to date, total return is 33%. However, I have a whole bunch of statistics here which we use in the general process, and you get a more balanced view of it if you have to you look at other instances. This is a we talked about the bond, the basic bond strategy. What happens is that you get the crisis produces a rate of return which is very high. It goes well over 10%, could go depending on what the bond fund is, but it could be 12, 13, 14, 15% at the bottom. However, there's a high default rate. In diversified bonds funds like this one, he says the default rate is you lose a couple percent every month, depending on what the default rate is. The advantage of that as an investment is that as soon as the Federal Reserve tells you that they're going to put money into the system and save it, basically, it doesn't make any difference whether people are skeptical, because what you're doing is you're chasing down at the bottom, you're chasing a yield of 13%, which is above the long-term rate of return for common stocks. And so you have to put up a little problem was, do you think they'll flub that up, and not get the market to turn around? And the answer is not likely, because they could print the money as long as they want to. Now, they print all that money, so that's what the problem with the gold. That's why gold becomes into demand. But when you look at the rate of return, it's pretty good. It doesn't have much of a correction. You can see it's not an inherently volatile fund once people gravitate to the idea that there is a recovery going. And 64% is not a bad rate of return for year to date. You notice that year to date is not a phony number. It's not like saying what was the return from March than the March low, because it turns out that if you start from the January 1st at 09, that's a peak. See, because there was a rally into that date. So it's a representative number, and this is the one of the years where you say year to date is representative. Total return means is important for a high income fund like FAGEX, because what you're doing is you're getting a lot of income in addition to the capital gains, but basically the play is capital gains, not the income. If you construct a T in here, split the center post of the T and bring it up in here, you're going to end up with a top date that's going to be very close to August. So it probably is not going to go up and make a most of the gains are behind it and so forth. But on the other hand, its present yield of 6.7, was it 6 point, what is it, 6.7% isn't great, but the Federal Reserve's got interest rates on secure things at a very low level, so it's not a bad deal. For reference purposes, when you do what we do is benchmarking is we're trying to find out if there's a shift going on in preferences, which is basically the 8-year cycle. Is there something going on there? But you have to be careful about how you measure this. For the capital and income, the year to date is 64%. A representative gold fund, which is symbol is User X, which has been in business since 1972. It's competently managed. It's not an outstanding fund, but it's competently managed. That's 49% year to date. The best gold fund that we track is up 89%. For contrast, Warren Buffett, who recently bought a railroad system, is up 4.6% for the year. Okay, and The S&P with its dividends included as of this Friday was 23.6%. Emerging markets up 68%. Latin America is interesting because if you look at the Latin America composition, you find out it's mostly Brazil. And Brazil is basically a natural resource store of wealth. I think most of the gold comes from copper, and they have large amounts of that. So there may be this link to natural resources in Brazil that nobody really cares about the Brazil except for the natural resources, and you know, maybe there's something in the gold area there. But in any case, it's not terribly stable, but that fund goes all over the place. But when you want high rates of returns, you have to put up with instabilities anyway, so that's part of the game. Now, the GLD contract, which is down below, is sort of interesting. Year to date, it's up 33%, which is very good considering it's above the S&P 500's 23.6%. But the interesting thing about it is the odd pattern going into November of 2008, and the fact that it rallied very well into the end of 2008, and since we're doing it on an annual basis, it's up 4.9 to 4.6% in 2008. So if you stuck with the gold, you know, 08 was a bad year, and it was a terrible year for the capital and income, because that was the one where they were crashing and so forth. So you can make a case for at least in recent periods, that gold isn't a bad place. Gold bullion, incidentally, the mining stocks got hit real hard in 08. So you can make a case for the ownership of gold as a metal, but not as a mining company, is a pretty good deal going forward. If you look at the 8-year cycle and you say that you completed a bottom pattern in 09, you make the argument that it's going to run into gold is likely to run into trouble because the T's going to end. Okay, but it's not a bad place to put some of your money in. And if it is speculative, what you don't make in the periods when you're getting the pullback, you'll catch up with going into the speculative surge if you believe that. I happen to believe that, but that's everybody's judgment and so forth, because I'll make the recommendations, just telling you what I would see. But I would say that now, if you look at the gold stock, mining stocks, they have a higher percentage gain, and that's likely to persist probably for the most part of this rally. But by the time you run this T out, which you look at every day and you wonder where the rally is coming from, that's going up into May or into August, but you know, sooner or later it'll run out. And I would say that it still is a good idea to take a long-term view. You could change the if you're a conservative, you could use the gold bullion in some way. You can that can be done with coins and stuff like that. You can go up in the mining stocks because they have a better leverage factor, and then go over to a cash basis. You can also buy GLD on a margin basis. You can buy futures contracts. GLD is probably saner because there's one of the things that's real interesting about the gold thing is that the people that made all the money and selling short on the speculation that we had in mortgage securities affected banks, and the people that were bearish all the way going down, the best known one being John Paulson, is what they're doing is they're bullish, they're going up on gold. They're not trying to get something that was they didn't like and they shorted and made money on going down, and then say, oh, okay, now the churn of the trend has come, now we're going to buy the banks and send them up. They just went right over to gold. And the reports are that they're taking physical delivery. In other words, they're not buying a futures contract to sell to a higher rate, which is it's fictitious. In other words, it's a piece of paper that says that they think the price is going to go higher. They're actually taking physical delivery of the bars of gold and they're putting them in the warehouses for long-term storage. That means that gold that exists as a potential source for as a supply is being taken off the market. That's where you really make your money. the great bull market that we had from 82 on the upside was that the people that owned the stocks weren't going to sell them. So when everybody wanted to buy them, you know, all the buyers came in, the sellers were not there, so that they bid the price up. So it's that imbalance between people are interested and the fact that the owners of the other stuff have it locked away in some kind of a stock warehouse or a gold warehouse or something is what makes the price go up. So when you see this, you want to gamble on what's going to happen. It's the eight-year cycle turning up. It's the physical. You can say that when you're in a T, maybe the gold mining stocks do better. But after that, if you want to be more conservative, which I think probably is the right way to go on the gold, after you get to the T-tops, is that you just go to the physical metal and put up with the fluctuations, and probably the metal will come down at the time you have the bear market, but you could always arrange that one so that you can buy more later on. In other words, own less than you really want to own and buy it coming back. What was the other? The other thing is, don't ask me about gold tea, short-range gold tea. I did the long-term one for 20 years, but if you can look at that pattern and make any sense out of it, I don't think you can. The only thing that you can make any sense out of the chart or the gold is that you'll notice that the gold came out of the November low, which is the B bottom in the charts, and did come up into February, into March. I guess it got into March, but things were looking black then. So gold was rallying when the market didn't look too good. Then when the market started to turn up in March and it came up into August, September, gold was quiet, indicating that the gold buyers are not active when the stock market is doing well. If you look at the period from, then it broke out of that pattern, and from September up to the present, it's rallied, and that's where you have the toppy pattern in the stock market. So the evidence of the people is that the gold seems to want to do well when the market is not as ambiguous or looks risky, okay? And that is a suggestion that if you include gold into a portfolio of things that react normally to the stock market, that there's a counter, that there's an advantage in doing that because it runs counter, which is the defensive nature of gold. That suggests that the big problem in the market is lack of confidence, because as soon as the stock market says they're having a problem, they buy the gold. If the stock market does well, they don't buy the gold. And that's a good way to you put 10% gold into a portfolio that's got other income in it. That's a fortunate set of circumstances. Going back to I'll save some of this other stuff for the next update. But generally speaking, gold does seem to be the kind of thing that's headed for an uptrend on an eight-year cycle. But it's the kind of thing you'd want to own, because every time things look bad, it seems to do pretty well. And that's what you're looking for in a lot of times. It's just something that's uncorrelated with the times. Good times, you can get by with anything. It's what you want to have in the bad times. But if you're looking for things to go up in the stock market, which are going to go up on the up days, it wouldn't hurt to have something in the gold area just for now, just because one of the down days, or when you hit the bad patches for the stock market, you get the good patches for the gold. And that stabilizes portfolios, that reduces volatility, so that's the good part of that one. Okay, so that's it for this week. Actually, I think that probably everything is pretty well defined by the... I'm very happy that that if you delve inside these T's, you get all kinds of answers, and if you look into the... what we call a benchmarking process, you see where there's a concern. All the people that are talking about, they're really nervous. Well, they're buying capital and income, okay? And when they get really nervous, they're buying gold. See, but the strategy is really good. Everybody else is trying to do things on high volatility in the stock market, but sometimes you're just better off to come back and do this stuff. And I thought this was equally clever. Okay, so we'll find out how clever I am next week when we see whether the market can hold its correction and so forth. Thank you. Bye-bye.